Lucas, you want to hear a joke?
Yeah, man.
Why was the politician out of breath?
Ooh, I'm not sure.
He was running for office.
Must be running super fast.
Oh, yeah. He's a quick one. She's a quick one.
Anaerobic exercise.
Boom.
Sprints.
You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, we are soon
to be
out of this corner.
Corner.
Yes.
I was trying to finish your sandwiches.
Sandwiches. That's from Frozen.
Yes.
Perfect.
That's what I was about to say.
Elsa.
Anna. Olaf.
Kristoff.
Sven.
Evil Prince.
Hans. Prince Hans, right?
Gale.
Gale Force Winds.
Yes, that's the name of the wind.
Yeah.
All right, we are talking today about how to get a promotion quickly. Lucas and I have been employees in companies. Lucas and I are now leaders of companies, and we hire people and promote people, so we feel like we can give you a very clear picture as to what will likely get you, I'm not promoted for sure, but hopefully a higher chance of getting promoted.
Recognized.
We're going to do a little sports talk. It's going to be some fun stuff. We got some T-Swift stuff, some contract talk. Lucas is going to see if he can guess some contracts out there. Jaylen Brown's, Jokic, and Marcus Smart's contracts.
Yeah.
I don't know them, so we'll each have fun with those.
Yeah.
We got some true or false statements. This is where you try to, ask me.
I'll ask you.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can up your percentage from previous ones.
I like it. And then we're going to do some story time. Good one.
Nice.
You ready to rock it?
I'm ready, man.
All right. So, Lucas, I think most people I talk to, not everybody or I see or interact with, they eventually want to quit their job and they want to get out of their job quicker than they probably should. My opinion for the highest level of success, when I say success, I mean financial freedom and wealth, is for you to have a good job, do very well at that job, and then eventually set yourself up to quit that job. I think trying to get out of your job ASAP will lead to you not performing well at your job, and I think you need to be more financially stable before you just quit because you've done one flip. So that all being said, I think it's important to do well at your job and get promoted.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of good income opportunity with good jobs out there. Does it create the financial freedom or the wealth that, you know, we teach and we're trying to build ourselves? No, probably not. But as far as active income and maybe some other, you know, investment strategies that your employer offers you, I think it's super powerful. And people kind of shit on that in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you love it and you're good at it and you go all in, you can be very successful for sure.
Yeah, and just having, we've talked about this before, but having that stable base of income, making more money there, you're more bankable, you have more flexibility in your rehabs and your projects you take on, you could potentially, I don't want to say be riskier, right? But if you're if you've been promoted a couple of times and you're making, you know, 95 grand a year and, you know, you have extra discretionary income, you can leave money in a deal potentially and do a flip. You can, or a Burrs deal. You can spend a little bit of money on marketing. Just having more active income will help you be more successful in real estate. And have more active income usually comes along with promotions.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the people that are employees versus employers, it's like 99.9%.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right? So I think what is a great strategy and what most people that are listening probably are doing is, you know, have their active income, have their job, get really, really, really good at it, and invest in some rental properties on the side to help supplement their retirement or help get to that retirement faster.
For sure. So, Lucas, can you name some things that you look at in employees, team members, we call them, but it's synonymous when considering a promotion?
Yeah. I'm going to take a step back.
Oh!
Look a little macro. A step back
three-pointer. Ooh. Like you used to do.
Yeah, a little step back.
Mm-hmm. Little LeBron.
Yeah,
see a boy practicing his threes in this offseason?
Good.
He's going to be much more of a three-point shooter this year. We'll
good.
See.
His game is evolving, my
his
friend.
His game is always evolving.
Yeah, it has been. So that's why he's been able to do it for 21 years. This is 21 years.
And he averaged, he's going to.
Isn't that crazy?
I bet he averages 25 points a game at 21 years in. That's obviously never been done.
Yeah, so. Feels like he's been playing forever.
He kind of has.
Yeah. Anyway, so take a step back a little bit. So I think of this like you gotta understand what company you're working for. Like if you're in our company, you know, not only can you grow into other roles that are already here, but our company is growing as a whole, and roles will continue to evolve and become available. So it's double important, right? But you know, you could be working for a MasterCard. A lot of people around here in our area work for MasterCard, and there's just probably, I don't know, but endless opportunities for some type of promotion in, mm-hmm. in giant companies like that. Or there could be like a smaller company that, you know, 10, 20 employees that you work for, maybe not have, and that aren't growing, then not have that level of promotion. So kind of got to have a little self-awareness of where you are in your career, and also what your company's goals are and what's available for you. So, and then I'll also just say this, like us as owners and leaders, we are constantly, our number one topic, you and I are, who's freaking rocking it, mm-hmm. and where else can we put them to continue to grow our business? So it's something that your boss is talking about with their boss and their board of directors or whatever it looks like on a very, very consistent basis.
Or how can we keep you down like we do to York?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, our company is unique, mm-hmm. right? We are growing very fast. This mm-hmm. is the foundation, and everything on top of this is just to the moon, right? But having three promotions or whatever the hell it is from Tyler is probably out of the ordinary, we would call it, but they're still ways and paths to fast promotions for even a very stable company. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like and what we look at from a leader perspective on how you can get there.
And remind me at the end, T. York, don't let me forget at the end of this segment to talk about the proper way to ask for a raise or a promotion.
That's a good one.
There's a good way to do it. I've heard a couple people, and what's referencing, I'll butcher it or I'll just make it difference, but Simon Sinek had a really good video I saw the other day on how to do it. So I will regurgitate that.
I love
and put
that.
My twist
yeah.
on it. It's
he's,
really
he's
good.
Awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah. So what do I look for? Right. Obviously the first thing that comes to mind is just work ethic, mm-hmm. you know, and that can come across and be shown in a lot of different ways. But to me, it's just not doing the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Like if you clock in and clock out and you're never looking to expand your role and continue to get better and improve the company, then you're probably not the person that we're talking about in the back rooms when we're looking to give promotions.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the baseline is putting in the amount of work. And then if you're willing to do some extra things like take on more responsibilities or say, hey, I have some extra free time. Do you have anything for me? Just looking to provide as much value via usually hard work. Yeah, that's the first thing. And you know, hard work is a big part of it, because when you're promoting somebody, you want to feel comfortable that they're not going to make a little bit more money and then not sit on their laurels. But you're going to want to make sure they continue to, you know, do what you promoted them to do. Like a weird but kind of good example is some of these NFL quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Russell Wilson. They are incredible. They run around, then they sign these contracts, and then they stop running around because they're like making more money. They want to protect them. But the reason they got the promotion, the reason they got the contract is because they run and pass and run and do all the things. And now they're not, both of those guys aren't doing them as much, but the reason they got the freaking so it's kind of
unless they evolve like your boy LeBron.
Well, I mean, very few people have evolved like he has in his sports. Even if you're not a LeBron fan, you can't admit that he doesn't can't deny that he evolved. But anyways, I feel like I want to promote somebody, but I don't want them to lose that edge. I guess is a good way to put it.
I love
lose
it.
That edge. Yeah,
and it doesn't always correlate directly with the number of hours you put in. Right, you can still clock in at 8:30, clock out at 5 every day, and still get a promotion. It's what you do with that time that you're here and how much value you can provide to your peers and your company, and always looking for, if you got an ounce of free time, instead of jumping on social media or something, hey, where else can I help? There's time for that downtime at lunch or before work or after work, but while you're there, let's see what we can do here.
Yeah, and for me, and it depends on whoever you're working for, but for me, I don't want people overworked, but I do appreciate somebody that's willing to come in earlier, stay a little bit later if necessary, not just because, but if they need to. So like you said, you can do it clocking in, clocking out, and take advantage of that time that you're there. But also, it's not going to hurt your case. You don't have to stay till freaking 9 o'clock every night, but it's not going to hurt your case to work a little bit harder and do a few things at home and stuff like that to show that you're willing to put in the effort.
Yep. That's the first thing that I look for. Another thing that comes to mind, a lot of times we tell people things to do, mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily say how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we might give some guidance on how to do it, but that's up to you to go figure out. We need to do this, this, and this. Who's doing it? Yes, go do it. Figure out how to do it. When we communicate things that need to be done and the proper notes aren't taken and some of those things get missed, that drives me nuts. Like, hey, we talked about this via in person or an email and you didn't follow through, or even if you tried and it wasn't perfect, I'm fine with that. Let's talk through how we can make it better the next time, but it needs to be done. If it gets forgotten about, that drives me freaking nuts.
And I guess that brings a good point, is there are a lot of different ways to do things well and to screw things up, and having a feel, you kind of mentioned it earlier, some self-awareness to feel for what your boss or employer values. Mm-hmm. It drives that. I mean, I don't like that either. When someone forgets something, that drives you crazy. But like people, we talk a little bit, I really focus on people's hard work ethic, and you do too, but like, it's like more of a annoyance to me if they don't. And like, that is annoyance to you. So I just, you're not every, promoter, the person that can promote you, has the same values that they value,
For sure.
So getting a feel for what they value and working towards that, I guess you don't want to like not put something aside that's important, but working towards that, I think, is key.
And I think that's, hopefully your values line up with your leaders or your leadership team values, and then everything is stress-free and you're all rowing in the same direction, and then that'll help with getting those promotions faster as well. So. That's when you're talking about the key areas that an employee should focus on when providing more value, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in general, what do you think some of those key areas are? Let's say you don't know the values of your particular leader, but.
Yeah, I think we've kind of alluded to some of them, but those key areas are, always coming to, like Tyler does this all the time, but coming with new ideas and new suggestions and approaching it properly. And I think we should try this. And what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And just going the extra mile and showing that you're putting in extra effort and thought into it and not just like being a robot. When you get promoted, people want you to keep that edge, but they want to feel like you're going to take that role and take it somewhere new and take responsibility of it. And when we promote people, we want them to do the things and do them better than we could do them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why we have a team, is because everybody on our team is better at what they're doing than what we're doing.
Correct.
So, that we used to do. So that's why we have that team. But, your company and your leader is, they are focused on, they have a financial goal. For sure. So any ways that you can save money or provide additional revenue in any certain way, your leader is going to really appreciate that.
And that's a good point. And like, take things off their plate.
Yeah.
That they may
be
doing, like some mundane things, or just in general, hey, is there something I can,
how can I help you?
Yeah. How can I help you today? Not like, I mean, it could be go grab your coffee, not necessarily just like take something off your plate or go, hey, I know that you do those reports and, you consolidate the files and do like, I can do that. Like just volunteering to take things off their plate. And then, like you said, just, being there and always looking to provide more revenue, because it's monetary, but it's not just monetary, especially for us.
That's
but,
just one
but if you're bringing in more revenue, then yes, they're going to want to promote you and give you more responsibility.
Another way to say what you said is finding efficiencies. This is the way we do it because we've always done it this way. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. Figure out a way to get more efficient at what you're doing to help save your boss, yourself, and your company time, therefore money.
Yeah, for sure. Time is money, Walls.
Yeah. I would think another big area that they should focus on too is building trust with you and your leader and your leadership team. A lot of different ways to do that, right?
Yeah.
But just being there and that hard work and not making mistakes and taking those notes is not making mistakes, not probably not the right way to do, but doing things right is going to get you in that direction. Because when shit hits the fan, you want your leader to turn to you and say, hey, how are we going to solve this? Mm-hmm. That is a good problem to have. If shit hits a fan and your leader's not looking at you, is like, get away, I'm gonna go do this by myself, that's not a good sign. You mm-hmm. need to build that trust so you have someone to go to war with.
What book do you think of building that trust?
Oh, Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
I just got to read that one. Yep. So building that trust, that's like the foundation level of it, right? Is having that trust so you can have those vulnerable talks. You can receive criticism from your boss. Hopefully, obviously, assuming they do it in a respectful way, but you can receive criticism from your leader if it's done well and not get, butt hurt about mm-hmm. it, or not, especially if they do it the right way, and not get in your feels about it, and just take it for what it is and improve on it and move on is what you want. Your leader wants to feel like they can, again, we're assuming you have a good leader. There's obviously a ton of shitty leaders out there, but assuming a good leader, they want to be able to tell you something to improve and not have it be personal and have you mm-hmm. move on. They're not going to hold a grudge. They just, hey, could you get better at this? Great, here. And then you not be butthurt and they move on. And vice versa. That builds trust, though.
Yep. And you want to be able to have that trust with them that you can, if something's not working, you're able to come to them with the problem and hopefully a solution as well. Because mm-hmm. if you're just bringing problems to the table, we call it dropping monkeys off at the office, right? Mm-hmm. If you bring a monkey into my office, you're taking it back with you.
Yes.
Like, you're not leaving it with me. Go figure out how to solve it.
I would love to throw three monkeys in your office and close the door.
I would probably keep them there for a while.
Yeah, I would love to have a monkey.
Yeah. Certain ones might get a little too big, but there's some real
cute little ones. Yeah. Like Ross Geller monkey. That'd be cool. Like Marcel.
Marsupial? Is that a...
I don't know, but it's Marcel's his name, right?
That is his name.
Okay, perfect.
Marcel the marsupial.
He ate those letters from Scrabble or whatever.
Yeah.
And they thought he was trying to spell monkey. There was like an O, an M, and a K. Yeah. Like, we thought he was trying to spell monkey. That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, so being able to, take responsibility and, handle that is a huge part of it. So what are, and then we'll get into kind of the Simon Sinek knockoff. What else do you have to round this up? Because, Lucas, earlier when Tyler was kind of explaining this outline a little bit more to you in detail, I had both headphones in and I was hitting these buttons.
Yes.
And I couldn't hear anything. You heard part of it.
I heard half of it.
Yeah. So, round out what Tyler didn't want to miss before getting to my Simon Sinek.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit about expectations and creating expectations for yourself to not get you frustrated and keep you motivated as you're.
Did you say frustrated on purpose?
Oh, I like that word.
Flustered,
no, I didn't.
And frustrated. That's write that down. Frustrated. Brilliant. That was so on purpose.
Yes. That's where most of my brilliance comes from, is accident.
Yes.
But anyway, talking about unreasonable expectations. So, and really this is, I would consider, whether the amount of raise or the promotions or whatever we're looking for, but mainly I'm thinking timeline in my head. So I don't know, what do you think would be an unrealistic expectation for some sort of promotion?
Yeah, that's tricky. I feel like it's so much, and I hate the depends answer, so I'll break it down and won't say just depends. Like for our company, I mean, few promotions in the first few years is not expected, but it's reasonable.
Yeah.
A lot of companies, that you got to have a certain amount of years. There's like benchmarks. Like, you have to do this well. You have to be in this role for 5 years before you become sales manager. You have to have been successful for you and all this stuff. So I think it really depends on the company and the culture, the growth, the stability of it. And that's, again, something you can get a feel for. You want to have the right expectations. You don't want to go work for big, huge company that promotes from within but kind of slowly doesn't expect a promotion a year. You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But you should also not expect no promotion in 10 years. So I think you can round that up. I think it kind of really just depends on the company, the culture, and how fast they're growing.
Yeah, and understand that, and then you can set some mental expectations for yourself to allow you to stay motivated and not get frustrated if that promotion doesn't come up. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a decent segue to what you want to talk about, how to ask for a raise. But I think there is a time and a place to talk about your position and your future with the company and what that's going to look like. And it's probably not just stopping by your boss's desk and closing the door behind them. It's probably, maybe an annual review or taking your, boss out to coffee or lunch or a dinner and talking about your future and where you see me, and understand that hopefully they see you as a part of this company long term, and you can kind of fit within their plans for you as well, and have benchmarks to strive and go achieve that.
Yeah, that's a lot of what Simon said, and basically, and I'm getting flashes of a few different videos from different people and my kind of personal thoughts. So this is a cocktail of thoughts, but I think in general, yeah, the closing the door, the asking for a raise, the pulling up Indeed ads and showing, you know, this type of person in my role makes us, that's not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The way to do it is, you know, hey, I love this company. I want to be here long term. Is there a path, or can you help me see a path together that will get me to X amount of dollars? Mm-hmm. Like, is there, I'm making $6,000. Is there a path within this company that in the near future I can work towards and provide value to get me to making $100,000? Is there a path that can get me to the next level in the company? So just like collaborating, bringing them in and asking for a path that you can prove yourself, not saying I've already proven myself, here it is. How can I prove myself going forward is a good way to put it. And is there a path for me to do that is kind of the general terms. And that's, I mean, if somebody came into my office, I would think that's like super responsible of them and super like the awesome. They want to be there and they're trying to prove themselves still. So that, yeah, somebody comes in and says that to you, you're like, yeah, as opposed to just like, hey, you know, I feel like I'm worth 20 more grand than I'm
exactly.
Making.
No, I really like that. And, you know, hopefully your boss is honest with you and be like, yeah, I can see you making this in 3 years or 5 years. Or, but if it's not, you know, maybe it's time to look
elsewhere. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. Cause I always say, or a lot of people say, best time to look for a job is when you have one. So if you're not happy and you have that chat and your boss shuts you down, or that you don't see a path to that, or they don't see a path, or they weren't, didn't appreciate that conversation.
Yeah.
Still do your job, do it well, but start to poke around a little bit.
A lot of, yeah, there's, and then there's a difference between, you know, looking for a position to better your company or to better your life and your family's life, and then just hopping jobs to make an extra buck here and there. Right. I hate that.
Which I've known people that do that.
Yeah. There's, I mean, in some industries it's kind of standard, which is weird.
Yeah. You know, probably, you know, I'm talking about it in the beer industry, but yeah, hopping different, like, yeah, that I'm sure that's fine, but it looks like, to me, it looks like non-loyal. And if I looked at somebody, even if they got promotion, they in the past 6 years, if they've had three or four different jobs at different companies, I'd be very wary to hire them.
Yeah, I would too. So
or promote them.
Yeah,
if you hired them, promote them, like, who knows, they're gonna hop again, they're gonna use that new title to go somewhere else,
right?
So I don't want our company, and I understand some people will leave. We rarely ever have people voluntarily leave, but I don't want our company. I feel like we provide enough value, enough income, enough stability, and enough, like, hey, you can have a side hustle, we'll help you with that. I don't want our jobs and to be stepping stones for people.
Yeah,
very okay. Cool. Lucas Walls.
Yes.
So let's do some sports talk.
Sports
right now.
Sports talk.
So T Swift and T Kelce.
They haven't been in the news much, have they?
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I don't remember the numbers, but I heard the ratings for the games that she has been to are just skyrocketed, because, like, my daughter and my wife both wanted to watch the Chiefs-Jets game. We didn't, but they talked about it. Like, my 7-year-old daughter talked about it, and my wife did, just because they want to see Taylor Swift in the – I mean, she is, like, one of the biggest stars in the world. And,
yeah.
I mean, she just broke all the kind of records with her tour. And, yeah, she's – if you didn't know, she's the – apparently dating, nobody knows, I guess, for sure if it's just a ploy for virality and clicks and merch and growing their brands, if they're together for brands or they're actually together, but they're quote unquote dating or starting to talk.
Yeah, no, Travis Kelce tied into the Chiefs, you know, right across the state from us here. I've always liked Travis, honestly. I don't know him, but he always seemed like a fun, pretty down-to-earth dude. And I feel the same way about Taylor. Don't know her, but she seems pretty down-to-earth for how big of a star
she is.
A
big one, yep.
So I honestly think it kind of makes sense from that perspective. They're kind of just cool people and homegrown, and I like it. But you're right. It's like there's not many stars that compete with, like, the NFL as a whole, but Taylor might be
one of them.
So it's crazy. And, yeah, just the I think some, like, diehard NFL fans here and there are, like, getting a little sick of it, showing her, I think, 30 times or 37 times or whatever it was in one game.
Mm-hmm.
In general, they're going to come out, the NFL is going to come out net positive on new viewership
by
a lot. Sure.
Yeah, I think, and his jersey sales are up like 400% or something, and then the ticket prices of the games that she quote unquote goes to have gone way up, and they sold out. And then, yeah, the viewership of those actual, you know, games is way up compared to probably what it would have been. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. Who knows? I think it's real, but who knows? It does grow their brand. I mean, she, like, I'm trying to think, is there a bigger, like, pop star in the world right now?
No.
And it's not. I mean, there's been them in the past.
Maybe male? I don't know. Like, Bieber? It would be, like, up there, I would assume.
But I don't think he could do what she just did on her tour.
Yeah, I don't know.
The last 17-year-old girls, like you like to say, but also now those 17-year-old girls are 35-year-old and then moms, and then back down to the
younger.
Speaking
of evolution, T-Swift's evolved.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's probably the biggest pop star in the world right now. Is. So, that's crazy. And I think they're similar ages and everything, but that'd be cool. All right, like, so, Lucas, let's guess some contracts.
Ooh, which sport are we going with?
B-ball. So Jaylen Brown just signed a 5-year contract. Oh, what's your guess on how much it was? I know it was
So NBA is crazy these days. Like, the cost per year for the NBA is the highest sport there is, correct, I believe. They're shorter contracts in the NBA usually. You can get, you know, max contracts and super max. So they award players for staying with a team.
They get the super max if they stay with the team.
Yes. So I think that's been good for the sport. So you could, if you go and you're a free agent and you go somewhere else, you'll get less money than you would if you stayed with your team. So I think that's super cool.
And it's a number. So it's less players.
Yeah.
So they can pay them more. Like the other sports are way more players. Baseball is 26. Yeah. NFL is 53. And then also it's a soft cap.
Like, you can go over there's a luxury tax for what
NFL's
you go over.
NFL's a hard cap.
Really?
Baseball, there's no cap.
Yeah.
But NFL's a hard cap. You have to be, I remember, like, within 86%, you have to spend a minimum amount of money, but you can't spend over that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a hard cap. That's why NFL is so competitive. There's, like, you can be last and then first. You can't really do that in basketball. Like, the Orlando, I mean, maybe look at Bibb. Orlando sucked for a long time.
Yeah.
So it takes a long time to turn around. But that's one of the beauties of football, is the parity.
Yeah, very cool.
You know,
cool.
There's at least 4 new NFL playoff teams every year for the past 30 years. Like, it's like new blood every single year in the playoffs.
That's anyway. Awesome.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I think that's part of it, is the cap.
Cool. So contracts in the NBA are crazy, and they keep going up every single year. So Jaylen Brown signed the largest contract ever.
So 5 years.
5 years.
It's got to be over $50 million, right, a year?
Five. Yes, it is, I believe. I'm going to say 5 years, 275, and that would be $55 million a year.
I'm going to say 5 years, 285.
Oh my god!
$304 million
for five. So that's 60 plus
a year.
A year. So. And it's probably, you know, average 60 plus a year, and it might be more back end weighted, right?
Who knows? But
but that's impressive. The Joker,
Nikola Jokic.
York, can you help us when these contracts were signed by any chance? That would be probably a giveaway.
That might be,
because I think Joker is severely underpaid at the moment,
and I don't think he's like a free agent next year. But if I had to guess, he's in like year 2 or 3 of it.
Kind of in the middle.
So his is 5 years. I would guess it's $220 million for 5 years.
I don't even know if it's that much.
Well, guess then.
That's a lot.
Put your money where your mouth is.
I think it's more like 150.
Oh my gosh. What do we got?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Never mind.
267.
276. 276. Yeah, very close, Sam. Very close.
So yeah, so he's not.
Jeez, so he's it still probably was though. Pretty recent within probably the, but he's been Pat, 2 years before this. Was the MVP last year?
Last year was
who won last year?
Joel.
Oh, Joel.
He was 2 years before, though.
So he's been an MVP caliber. He probably should have won last year anyway, for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. So
he probably signed after his first MVP or something.
Yeah.
Maybe second.
Yeah, that's probably right. So then you're going to get $40 million a year still, or 40 plus, 50 plus.
50 plus.
That's crazy, dude. That dude's a stud.
All right, Marcus Smart I guess I don't know. That's the other thing. He just got traded. I would assume his contract was still with the Celtics that carried over.
Yeah, he got traded to the Grizzlies.
He's a stud. He is not a star, though.
Not a star, but a solid defensive player. Can run your team, dependable. Can't
shoot a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to shoot, but that
not
way.
Afraid to shoot. Oh, gosh. I mean, he's not even close to an all-star. Like, Jaylen Brown, all-star, Nikola Jokic.
MVP.
MVP. Yeah. So those players are leagues above Marcus Smart.
So this is 4 years.
4 years, I'm going to say $100 million.
So $25 million a year?
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
I know it is.
I'm going to say $110.
76.
Ooh, that's a...
About, what is that? 19 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
$20 million a year.
And he's probably in like
He's near
the latter half of his career.
I'd say he's past his prime, but he's still decent. He's still near his prime, but past it.
Yeah, maybe latter third of his career.
Maybe a standard deviation away from the bell curve.
Exactly. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. Derivative is just right.
Yep, exactly. Cool. That is fun to get those chats and talks.
That is fun.
All right, so new true or false segment. So this is what you're asking me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Hopefully you don't have the answers there. Okay. True or false, statement number one. You can sneeze during your sleep.
False.
False. You gotta wake up, right?
How would they know that though? So they just recorded everybody and they, how do they know if you're awake or not? Like,
I don't know.
Because if I guess I'll wake up, sneeze, but go right back to bed. Like you could be in like very, anyways. Yes.
Good job. This next one's super fun. A true or false. A golf ball is the fastest recorded object in sports.
False. I think it's the shuttlecock.
You
all right?
You are correct.
Yes, I got it. How did I know?
Shuttlecock, that's in badminton, right?
I have no idea. The answers are written on mine,
but,
too.
But think about how that thing floats in the air so soft, but right off the racket, it's probably ridiculous.
What do you think it is?
I think it's in badminton, right?
Okay. Yeah. Goodness gracious, faster than a golf ball?
I know. Like, because it just kind of floats back and forth.
Golf ball speeds are like 175 miles an hour.
Well, I mean, is it the same as the club head speed pretty much?
It's faster usually.
It's faster. And I think, isn't like DeChambeau over like 200 on some of his swings?
On the golf ball speed, not the club head speed.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. So there's a shuttlecock, Prim. Great guess.
Great guess. It's just right. Like a cock. All right.
Last, it's in between a cock and a space shuttle.
Yes, that's why it's called a shuttlecock. Yes.
All right.
And a bow and arrow.
Yep. All right. Statement number three, true or false. Popping your finger or toe knuckles is bad for your joints.
I actually knew this one, but it is on there. I'm 100%. That's false. I think they've there's no like evidence to show they've like done studies with people that have done it and didn't do it. So.
I think we were kind of, it was like a myth that we were kind of told that when we were young.
Because it was probably annoying, like, stop freaking doing it.
Yeah, and they probably didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, while you're growing, but maybe when you're an adult, it's probably better. But while you're growing and still, I don't think your, like, kids should be, like, sitting there cracking their knuckles. It just doesn't seem right.
I wasn't a big knuckle cracker. It sounds like you maybe were.
A little bit. I remember starting.
You probably felt cool
I was
doing
a big back
it.
Cracker. I remember pushing on my desk and like cracking my back in high school. And
did you feel cool though, cracking your? I feel like you probably felt like you were cool, like in
right,
middle
right
school.
Right before I got into some fights, I make sure my knuckles are cracked.
Make sure your knuckles are cracked. That you used to get into fights, but not until you're a little bit older. Cool. So Walls, what do we got for a win or a story or like a shout out that we've kind of had happen recently? Or do you want to give everybody a little update on the? On Branson, I feel like that's a good update. You guys, you were just down there. Talk about that whole, I'll add some flavor, but talk about whole drive, like just that whole experience. You said it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great trip. So we, Sam and I bought 18, bought a resort in a vacation town called Branson, Missouri. It's right on Table Rock Lake. It's known for, theater, but it's also got a lot of new stuff for like kids, like apartments and Silver Dollar City's there, and it's got a whole new strip of restaurants and stores right on the water with zip lines. It's a super cool area. There's a lot of money getting dumped in there, but there's also a lot of parts of Branson that could still use a lot of money dumped to it. So there's some opportunity as well. So that's why I like it. So we bought a resort. It's 18. It could be a hotel. It could be whatever. But we're going to operate as 18 individual short-term rentals. It's on Indian Point, which is about a mile and a half south of Silver Dollar City. We're not right on Table Rock Lake, but you can see it when you're standing in our...
You can see both sides of it.
You
almost
can see both sides because Indian Point's kind of narrow, right? Mm-hmm. So both sides, you can see the lake and right across from a giant marina where you can do like scuba lessons. You can take rent boats for the day and there's a restaurant. It's just really cool facility. But, there's a lot of mom and pop resorts down there that have just been kind of run down and not managed super well over the last 50 years or so. So this is one of those. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't bad when we bought it, but it to get it to a lot of our standards up here, it needed a lot of work. And our, Sam and I flew down there on a private jet, flew our team down there to look at the project after we got it under contract, kind of came up with a napkin rehab budget of like $400,000 or something. And
what is it going to be?
Yeah, it'll probably be, so. And then we got all the quotes and stuff, and then our construction loan currently is $900,000, and I think it's gonna be closer to $1 million. So
600 grand off.
Yeah, well, from our initial.
I know, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
that wasn't accurate. Yeah,
yeah. But so we bought it for 850 grand, so we put in $1 million. So we'll be into 1.85 million, and it had an as is appraisal for right at $3 million already. So 1.2 in equity, beautiful. And then we'll get this thing operating. But a big project is kind of what I was showing there. And we're probably 75% done. We hired a project manager, a general contractor, and a property manager down there, a designer, everything that we've been working virtually on. So we went down this past week, did not take a private jet. We drove with our leader of our rental company and our project manager and myself, and just kind of walked through the project, seeing where we're at, probably 75%, 80% done. Obviously, there's always challenges with this, with rehabs in general, but especially with a project this big. We had a $35,000 electric bid, and after getting into the electric and everything's kind of falling apart, we want to do it right. We want to do it safe. That change order came back at $85,000. So just little stuff like that. Hopefully that's the last surprise. So construction, we wanted to be operating by November 1st, but it's looking like it's going to be more like December 1st. So we'll kind of finish out construction. I would call it middle of November, give or take. And then while we're finishing out construction, we'll furnish it and decor it and all that, and hopefully be ready for guests at, for December, because there's a cool holiday market down there with mm-hmm. Polar Express rides and a lot of cool Christmas lights. So hopefully get some bookings in December. I think your family's going down there.
We are going down there. Yep. So hopefully we'll have the rooms ready.
Yeah, we'll get you a spot if not.
I know. So a lot of people ask me when I talk about that deal, well, it's like, why did they sell to you for so cheap? How did you get that much equity off the bat? What is your answer for that one?
Yeah, I would say it's just it's such a unique project that the way a lot of these mom and pop operators are operating it, it really doesn't make sense. But with technology and ability to get your listings on the internet, and with the whole Airbnb craze, it just gets in front of so many more people. And they're not building a lot of whole like new resorts down there. A lot of it's like the space is taken up, so there's not a lot of nice places to stay unless you go into that really, really high end, like Big Cedar or something. So I think we fit like a really nice niche of quality, nice vacation rentals with all the amenities that are priced at a fraction of what Big Cedar would be. So I don't think the current owners understand that, and they would have to dump in a lot of money to be able to do that. With a fresh project, we're able to pretty much burr this place and be an awesome investment opportunity. The neighbor wants to sell for 1.8. He said he'd sell it to us for 1.8. It's in better shape. It's 21 units, and I'm like, you know, we get through this one, maybe we'll talk. Even that's probably not that far off. If that's going to be worth more than 3 by a little, say it's worth 3.1 or 3.2, needs 400 grand, then that might be a deal too. So a lot of opportunity down there. Is you just got to have
the foresight and the nuts to do it.
The nuts to do it is what it is to me. Yeah.
Sorry, Tyler. I think that's – and the other thing is they were – obviously no one knows where it exactly, but there were some personal stuff going on too. That's part of it too.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, awesome, Lucas. Good job. Let's crumble up our paper and throw it. Mine counts as 2.
Dude, mine's not easy.
Yes, it's so much easier than mine.
No, it's not. Like, if I threw it straight, it would hit that thing.
If I threw it straight, it would hit that. It would hit the cord. Like, you can do a normal arch. That was not good. What I have to do.
That was not good. I missed, guys. Let's see if Sam... Oh, gosh.
Ooh, that was close. No!
I think we have a different definition of what close is.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.